Fox Sports Radio.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. It's madness, baby, around the house. This is my excuse once a month a year. It's like, why didn't you take the garbage out? I just look at the wife and say, it's madness, baby. And that's what we're talking. Not only how to watch it, how to bet it, but also, you know, we always say about half you guys bet, half you guys don't. But almost everybody listening is going to fill out a bracket. And a lot of the information we'll be sharing with you is going to help you fill that bracket out. And we are jam-packed with pros who know. College Knowledge, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, the usuals, Ken Thompson, a local radio legend. I don't know if you guys saw the movie The Right Stuff. Anyone see that? Great movie from the 80s. But Chuck Yeager was a fighter pilot that was the best. Everyone thought he was the best. But for some reason, and I think specifically, he didn't have a college degree, he couldn't become an astronaut. So as all these other guys that weren't quite as good as Chuck Yeager moved up to the national prestige of being an astronaut, there still was this sense that there was this undiscovered talent. Ken Thompson's that guy. He literally, if you live in Vegas, you know this guy knows his college information. Hopefully he'll show it today. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You heard him ranting a few minutes ago on his weekend show, getting spotlit. You can't have pros without Joes. Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, the brackets are out. And on Straight Outta Vegas, we start with those brackets. The NCAA tournament is set. Number one seeds going to Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, and North Carolina. So the big question for Vegas, what did you make of the job the committee did?
Okay, so on one hand, Brad, who is, a natural pessimist, kind of, I mean, you'd have to say you're a critical person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your dad was very critical.
Yep.
And I mean, it just carries on. It's a chain. I mean, it just happens that way. I mean, I know nothing about that, but, you know. But you were like, wow, the committee did such a good job.
I did.
But Fez, who had a much easier upbringing, you're a little more skeptical.
Well, my biggest criticism of the committee is I don't think they even watch the games on Sunday, RJ. They basically do their work. They finish it Saturday night. Oh, Michigan State wins the Big Ten over Michigan. That doesn't matter. We already finished our work. Auburn wins the SEC. Yeah, we had Auburn as a 5. Too late to change everything. We'll just stick with what we have. And for Michigan State, we'll keep them a 2. So what if they have to play Duke in the same region? It's okay. We were done Saturday night.
So that's, if true, it seems wrong because the whole idea is these conference tournaments are super meaningful. We're watching on Wednesday and Thursday because we care about who cuts the nets down on Sunday. If the committee doesn't care, that doesn't feel right to me. Brad, do you feel like the committee didn't give enough weight to what happened on Sunday?
Yeah, I think Fez is spot on here. Clearly, if you look at the seeding, Auburn, 5 seed in my overall power ranks, I have Auburn number 10, meaning Auburn should be more like a 3 seed, not a 5 seed. Same with Michigan State. I have Michigan State the number 5 team in the country, meaning they should have been playing, you know, a Gonzaga, a much worse 1 seed than the number 1 overall seed, Duke Blue Devils.
Okay, but in general, when we look at, let's say, the top 8 teams, so the 1 seeds and 2 seeds, you agree with the teams?
Absolutely. If you go stack rank power ratings, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way down through 8, all of those top 8 teams got either a 1 seed or a 2 seed. So in that regard, I thought the committee did all right.
RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas, recapping first the Vegas grade on the committee. One of the metrics I like to use is how many times is the worst seeded team favored. And last year, it was the first time in memory, it was 0. For a while, I think 1 snuck up to be a small favorite. And this year, Brad, only 1 worst seed favored, which again is a good grade for the committee.
It absolutely is. And in fact, I think it would be zero if not for an injury concern in that game between UCF and VCU, VCU's best player.
So specifically, we're talking now, maybe again, we got some games around Pick'em, but I'm talking about Oregon, Wisconsin.
Yep, Oregon, Wisconsin. Wisconsin went to favorite today.
Okay, so Oregon, so Wisconsin opened, what, 3-point favor?
Yeah, in the very early
And month. All the money came in on Oregon.
Yep.
And now some money came back on Wisconsin.
You're absolutely right.
So what we're saying is there's two games that are right around Pick'em, and that second game was?
UCF and VCU, an 8-9 game.
Okay, so, you know, this is a good time for a quick, because what we're going to do is sprinkle throughout bracket picking tips. Now listen, you know that I am of the belief that you can't be really intelligent, bet sports, and not follow me on Twitter. So yes, I do push my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. You cannot bet this tournament, especially fill a bracket out without the info I'm giving you for free on Twitter. 8 versus 9 is an example of that. Is now we have in the modern era since 1985, 64 teams starting on Thursday. The number 8 seed and the number 9 seed are exactly even. You might say, well, that makes sense. Those are the two closest seeds. Why would I care? Because think about all the secretaries. Think about all the non-college basketball fans who are looking at the 8 and 9 and thinking, well, 8's better than 9, right? I'm going with 8. To me, in almost every case, because remember, it's not how many points you score in your bracket. It's how many points you score in your bracket relative to your competition is what matters. And to me, I think unless you really love an 8, history tells us these teams are even. Oftentimes, the 8s are a 1.5 point favorite. But if you look on the ESPN.coms or the Yahoo brackets, oftentimes the 8s have 60%+ of the picks. One of my basic premises is, unless you've got a reason, go 9 over 8, because more people are going to go 8 over 9 for no good reason. Last thing, straight out of Vegas, RJ Bell. Ken Thompson, if you had to have one thought on the committee, good, bad, ugly, what is it?
I agree with the guys. I think they're as close to spot on as I've seen over the last several years, RJ. I was really impressed. And I'm surprised a little bit on the TCU-Oklahoma thing. But then I looked and Oklahoma swept TCU. So that was the only thing down the stretch. I thought Jamie Dixon's guys played pretty well. But they let some big leads slip away. And when you do that, it's what's in the committee's mind lately. And TCU, I kind of felt bad for them. But other than that, I think pretty spot on. And Belmont gets a shot. So that's what we wanted to see.
Okay, last thing on this, Brad. When it comes to who made it, that's a different conversation. The way the teams that made it that were seeded is one conversation. You've got the number 28 team in the country, Clemson, in your rankings.
Yep.
Didn't make it.
No, Clemson didn't.
But you've got the number 72 team in the country, Temple, made it at large.
They did.
So here's always the fun question. If Clemson, who didn't make it, on a neutral court, played against Temple, who did make it, what's the line?
Clemson would be right around a 6-point favorite.
Wow. So, yes, the committee did pretty well, but having a Vegas guy on that committee probably would have avoided something like that.
We'll tell you who the favorites are coming up here in just a moment to win the NCAA tournament. But Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. So RJ, the Duke Blue Devils are the number one overall seed in the tournament. They are the favorites to win the tournament. But other than Duke, who are some of the other favorites to keep an eye out on?
Yeah, so Duke right now plus 250. So 100 wins you 250. Clear favor. Gonzaga next, 6-1. Virginia, 8-1. North Carolina, 9-1. And then Kentucky all the way down to 15-1 with Michigan State. Let's start there. Brad, you've been loving Kentucky. maybe you were a little ahead of yourself.
A little bit, but I'll tell you, 15 to 1 is not too shabby there, I think.
But what I'm saying is, and this is a good time for us to kind of recap one of our bets and give you a chance. We always like to amp it up, right? I mean, let's be candid. You go 70 miles an hour. I'm not suggesting this. You go 70, okay. Ooh, that was a throw. But then the 10th time you go 70, it's like, whatever. Now it's 80. Well, I like to ramp it up. So we've got a bat, and I just want to give you a chance to give you just a little more vim and vigor.
Yeah, and here's the bet. So I took my four teams that I thought were most likely to win the NCAA tournament. I took Duke, of course. I also took Gonzaga, Virginia, and Kentucky. So I have three number one seeds and a number two seed in Kentucky. And we did this several weeks ago. I took those four teams. RJ has everybody else. And on top of that, RJ has 4-1.
So, yes, I've got a good bet. But listen, the story of my life, right? 4-1 at a 50-50 probably, and I still am going to lose. But here's the thing. You had Kentucky over North Carolina. You made a very specific choice. What's happened in the last couple weeks that makes it where North Carolina is a 9-1, where Kentucky's 15-1?
You know what? I'm not sure why there's such a separation.
I mean, North Carolina playing so competitively with Duke?
Yeah, they played competitively, but, you know, played Duke twice without Zion, lost the third time when Zion was there. And I'm wondering what these odds would be if Kentucky didn't have a bad final 2 minutes against Tennessee on Saturday in the semifinals of the SEC. If Kentucky holds their lead in that game, goes on to beat Auburn and wins the SEC championship.
So you're still on the Kentucky side.
I am on the Kentucky side.
So that's a beautiful thing. Here's a nice thing. This is what we tend to do. When there's a chance to double your bet, is what we do is I go 1, 2, 3, and when 3 happens, those that want to double the bet raise their hands. So if I raise my hand and Brad raises his hand, the bet doubles. Right now, it's 250 to win 1,000 on my side, and he has Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, Kentucky. I've got everyone else. He's giving me 4-1. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. My hand is up. Brad's isn't. That should tell everybody where Brad's confidence is. Real quick now, there's another bet here. Brad, you say you liked Virginia better than Tennessee. Fez doesn't know college as well, let's be candid. He said, give me some Tennessee. Someone told me something. Right now, the market says 16-1 Tennessee, Virginia 8-1. Fez, we can save the music. You don't want to double that one.
No, I want to bail on the Volunteers here.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 76 degrees. And the neon is flowing.
So, RJ, we talked about the NCAA tournament favorites a few minutes ago here on Fox Sports Radio. Duke is clearly the favorite, the number one seed overall in the tournament. But there is a stat that you have found which applies to what could take place in this year's NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and Colin Cowherd, a personal friend of mine, your nemesis, Jonas, is... he loves this stat because he's one to say, and I like to say it myself, yeah, Cinderella's invited to the dance, but she's got a curfew. There's at each stage of the tournament, Fez is writing that one down, at each stage of the tournament, there's a ceiling, and we'll be going over it this week, but this is the most important one. Last 30 champions, 29 of them has been a 4 seed or better. Now, some people might say this.
One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight.
Well, it doesn't work that way typically in the NCAA tournament. Usually, that 10th game is some theoretical game because the better teams win. So what we're going to have a little fun with is saying, well, wait a minute. We like long shots in general. I don't like him in the NCAA tournament because history tells me no. We're going to go roundtable style is which non-4 seed or better, so 5 or worse, do you think has the best chance to win it this year and make your case? Understanding you're bucking a lot of history. Straight out of Vegas first, Brad Powers.
Yeah, I'm going to take Iowa State, who just won the Big 12 conference tournament. Iowa State playing their best basketball season, finally fully healthy here for the Cyclones. A team that many expected to be at least Sweet 16, if not Elite 8 caliber, until they struggled at the end of the regular season. And I like Iowa State's draw. I think looking at the Ohio State matchup, I'd lean Iowa State minus a big number there. And I think the second round, a good matchup for Iowa State against an overrated Houston team.
And right now, Iowa State has the 11th best odds to win the title.
Mm.
So as a sixth seed,
that's not bad.
The 11th best odds to win the title at 50-1. So Brad saying, yeah, 30 years of history, 29-30. I don't give a care. Iowa State. Fez, your pick.
I'm going to take Auburn, a number 5 seed. RJ, Auburn is undervalued. They're playing very well. Frankly, they're playing great early in the year. They slumped in the middle of the year. Well, they're back to playing great ball. They just won the SEC. And I like Auburn's draw. They get to play Kansas if everything happens as expected. And Kansas is a 4 seed. And I don't think much of Kansas, who couldn't win the Big 12 regular season or the Big 12 tournament. I like Auburn.
Okay, right now Auburn, 80-1. As a 5 seed, the 17th favorite. So they're right out of that 4 times 4 is 16. So they're right there in that, hey, you think this is, we're tempting you at 80-1, but history says don't be tempted. Ken Thompson.
I hate to double up, but I'm on Auburn as well. And, I know Bruce Pearl for a long time. Met him back in 1995 when I was actually calling Division II basketball in a championship game against Southern Indiana, which is where Bruce started out before he went on to Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Tennessee, and now, of course, at Auburn. But Bruce is one of those go-getters, and he finally has his team together. They've been, missing a couple players here and there throughout the season. Everybody's there. They're on the same page. This team plays at a pace that a lot of teams can't, and they have enough offensive weapons that there's always somebody that's going to be hot. Yesterday, Harper, their second leading scorer and really their playmaker, he struggled mightily, but it didn't matter. They still had enough to overwhelm Tennessee. This Auburn team has a lot of offense. Unless they all go cold, this Auburn team definitely can win the whole thing.
Okay, that's Ken Thompson. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. So we've talked about the teams out of the top 4 seeds, which have won the title 29 to 30 years with a chance. It's Iowa State, and it's Auburn, doubled up with Fez and Ken Thompson. Now let's quickly flip it. Of the 4 seeds or better, so these are one of the 16 teams history says, good chance, pedigreed, Cinderella, there is no curfew. Who has a curfew amongst the big 16? Brad Powers.
I'm going to go with a 4 seed, Kansas State, who's not fully healthy, and that's a big reason that I'm fading Kansas State. Their second best player, Dean Wade, missed the Big 12 conference tournament, looks doubtful for the first round matchup against UC Irvine. And speaking of that matchup, horrible spot for Kansas State. They have to fly all the way to the west coast of California, and matchup wise Irvine's very experienced and really
hold on a second. When was Kansas State's last game?
Kansas State's last game was on Friday.
So you're saying they and when's their tournament game?
Thursday.
So they have to fly from Kansas to the West Coast in 6 days.
Yeah.
Well, they could drive.
I mean, yeah. If this was like Deadwood style and they had to take a train, I see your point. Yeah. Why?
Because usually when you're the higher seed, you're playing close to home.
Saying a small disadvantage when it shouldn't have any disadvantage at all.
And Irvine's playing in the same state, so usually you don't see that with the higher.
But it's not going all the way from Kansas. That's Brad Fair Powers. Enough. Though in general, I hear you. Kansas State is one of the big 16. He says no, no, no. Fezzik.
I'm going to fade the entire state of Kansas. Brad Powers doesn't like Kansas State. I don't like Kansas since they lost their big guy, Azambuke. They have not been the same. And frankly, Kansas always wins the Big 12. While they couldn't win the Big 12 this year, how are they suddenly going to win the entire title, RJ?
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. A lot of people think they were overseeded. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, totally overseeded. Yep.
But now remember, Kansas has that second game and the venue, and they travel so well.
If they win the first 2 games, they get to play in Kansas rounds 3 and 4, yes.
Ooh, some advantages. Okay, same question, Ken Thompson. Top 4 seed, so one of the big 16, you say no chance.
All right, here's the thing, RJ, and I'm going to blow a lot of people's minds, and I know you hate the football
Duke.
Team. Nope, Michigan. I do not think Michigan is
the
team. I am not sold on this team. If you go 0-3 against Michigan State, twice they're missing two key players in those games, you're wanting to win one of these games. They're down the stretch of the championship game. They get outscored 10-0. Look, I know Beilein's a great coach, but if you're that great, how do you not beat Michigan State one time, twice when they're missing key players? Ward was out once, and then they even had a banged-up point guard yesterday. I'm blown away that Michigan's just not that good, and I don't think the Big Ten overall is really that good.
All right, so wow, he went strong, Ken Thompson. Michigan, he says no. Kansas, we say no. Kansas State, we say no. And once again, the stat, 29 of 30 years, a four-seed or better, has won the NCAA tournament.
So, RJ, we always hear about these perfect brackets, right? I don't know if it's like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster, but we hear about these perfect brackets. What can Vegas tell us about the odds on a perfect bracket?
Very unlikely. Missed. What was the old guess? Smart. Missed it by that much. Now, there's a couple ways to look at this. The first way, and people love this, so we'll do it quickly, but people love this kind of stuff. How many possible brackets are there? Well, we can give you the mathematical number. Now, Fez, you still haven't spoken to the controversy with you getting into Northwestern way back when. We'll get into that after the tournament. Are you familiar with quintillions?
It's not a number I typically use.
There's 9.2 quintillion possible brackets. Now, what does that mean? It's the number 9 followed by 18 zeros, all right? It's 1 million times bigger than 9 trillion. Now, let me just give you a couple of examples of what it really, really means. If one bracket per second were filled out, so some robot was doing it, some futuristic, scary AI robot, one bracket per second, boom, 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 it would take 292 billion years to fill out all possible brackets. By the way, by most accounts, that's 20 times longer than the universe has existed. Now, if everybody on Earth filled out one bracket per second, now imagine that. Boom, 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 boom. It would take about 40 years to fill out all possible brackets. Now, I'm going to save one of these per show between now and Thursday. But yes, there's a lot of possible ones. But I'm hearing someone in North Dakota say, wait a minute, RJ, we know 16s don't beat ones very often, though it happened last year. All right, what we do every year is after every game, we take the money line and we say, okay, what was the odds of this happening? So if the favorite wins, hey, we expected it. If the underdog wins, ooh, that was unlikely. Last year, the perfect bracket odds were 2.9 quadrillion. All right. So that is literally the number 2 followed by, let me see, 3333333333. 15 zeros. So, yes, you're right. The possible bracket numbers are bigger than the actual, if you had bet the money line. But, Fez, this is one of those ones that if you had bet, started with a dollar, and bet every money line, and you went 63 out of 63. And remember, this is not even considering the playing games. You would have owned the universe, Fez.
I like it.
Well, but remember, don't feel too bad.
I'm already a multi-millionaire.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We've been breaking down the brackets all show long. We continue the discussion on which teams are getting steamed, which means the most action from the betting public thus far.
And we already went over Liberty, why they got steamed. Vermont, why they've got steamed. We got three teams to go. Remember, guys, if you missed it, though, just search RJ Bell on your favorite pod player. You're going to see Straight Out of Vegas. Subscribe. It's free every day. Also, our deep dive podcast called The Dream Preview, that's free, too. And we're going to be deep diving when it comes to the NCAA tournament. One last thing. You got to bet early. We keep talking about it.
Let's go, let's go, let's make some dough. Don't miss that open.
If you hadn't missed the open, Virginia, a 27-point favorite over Gardner Webb, down to 23.5. I disagree with this one. I'm just going to say, Brad, what do you think? Why Gardner Webb?
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily on Gardner Webb. It's more of against Virginia, a team that, as a one seed last year, Virginia got outright upset. And it's tough to lay a big number with Virginia when they run the slowest tempo of any team in the country. The thing that Gardner Webb does best, shoot the three ball, well, that's the thing Virginia does better than any team in the country as far as defending the three. I'm with you, RG. I'm against this move.
I mean, this is a tiny team, Gardner Webb. Here's what I'm looking to, and I might make it a best bet this week. Virginia in the first half. If there's any number one seed in memory that's going to be playing with vim and vigor and intensity early, it is going to be the one number one last year that got upset, and we can get rid of, we don't got to worry about, Fez, what do you think? Number, like we said, is in the 23 range now. What's the first half number?
Probably 13.5.
Boy, that sounds juicy, doesn't it, Brad?
It does.
Ken, any thoughts on Gardner Webb?
Yeah, here's the thing. I think Gardner Webb's getting a little respect because they won at Georgia Tech. They won at Wake Forest. But we know both those ACC teams weighed down. But then they had to close in their Big South tournament. They had to go to number one Campbell, win there, and then turn around and drive to number one Radford. Those two teams finished tied for the conference, and they won both those games. I think Gardner Webb, because it's a lot of points, just getting a little bit of love early.
All right, two last ones. We're going to do them quick. UC Irvine getting a lot of action so far. Brad, what are you thinking?
Yeah, and again, I think this is a play against their opponent, Kansas State. Injury concerns about Kansas State's one of their best players, Dean Wade. It's a good spot also for Irvine now playing close to home.
Because you remember, they have to, Kansas State has to fly all the way from Kansas out to the West Coast. Last one, Kansas also getting faded. Northeastern, what's your thoughts on Northeastern?
Yeah, Northeastern's really good on the offensive side of the ball. In fact, top five in the country as far as effective field goal percentage. And I think it's also a play against Kansas, who looked like they were out of gas in the championship game of the Big 12 tournament.
And Northeastern's weakness, again from Dave Essler, inside defense. Kansas hasn't been able to score down low this season since the big injury.
Yeah, since Azubuike's been out for them.
We got a doubleheader in the NBA coming up, but first I want to let you know Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Mako. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Mako today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. It is a doubleheader on ESPN, and we start with the Warriors at the Spurs, 8 p.m. Eastern time tip-off. Right now on pregame.com, Golden State, a 2.5-point favorite.
And I like San Antonio +2.5. I bet the Spurs +2.5. It's all about Golden State motivation. When you bet Golden State games, you have to ask yourself, are they going to be up for the game? Well, the Warriors were up the last two games. They just won their last two games on the road versus two of the best teams in the West, Houston and Oklahoma City. Now they're likely to let up here in San Antonio.
So you bet this one.
I bet the Spurs +2.5.
And really with Golden State, it's all motivation pretty much regular season if you're betting on or against.
Exactly. Just ask Phoenix, who beat them outright.
The second half of that doubleheader on ESPN sees the Pacers travel to Portland to take on the Trailblazers, and Portland a 4-point favorite.
Steve Fezzik.
Just a lean to Indiana here. Portland has a high fatigue rating, third game in four nights, and Portland is just coming home from a 3-game road trip. I lean to the Pacers +4.
Wow, guys. Day one, action-packed, and we've just nipped the surface, just that iceberg type style. We're going to be talking more about the perfect brackets, more about the specific histories. I mean, there's amazing histories of which you say, oh, I'm going to pick this team to go here, and it's going to be, but wait a minute. Historically, like 3% of teams of that seed will make it that far. Do you really want to buck a 97% trend? That's the kind of stuff I got up on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, and we'll be breaking it down here all week, March Madness style.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. If you missed any of today's show, you can find the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.